Erev in Per Gimel, Mishnah Zion 3:7. The Mishnah discusses once again the idea of setting up two different Erevin for two different days back to back, each one having the Kedusha, this time of Yom Tov. And the case we're talking about here is specifically the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, at the end of the Mishnah, I will address the question of what they call Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. That means the 2 days that we have of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. Like, for example, Shavuos is 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, whereas it's only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. I'll discuss that topic at the end, but that's not our topic here. And the halachas as they apply, and the Mishnah and the Sfar as it applies to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is different than how it applies to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So we'll do one thing at a time. First, the topic of our Mishnah, which is the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so now let's just understand a bit of an introduction here to make sure we're on the same page, how Rosh Hashanah happened in the time of the Mishnah. And that's what is essential to understand this Mishnah. Back in the time of the Mishnayos, and really from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the year 358 of the Common Era, which is really the closing of the Talmud, the time of Hillel II, he's referred to, who was a contemporary of Rav and Abaye at the end of the Talmudic time. Each month of the Jewish calendar had Rosh Chodesh based on witnesses testifying that the previous night they had observed the emergence of the new moon. That is to say, every roughly month, every halachic month for sure, the moon appears, it waxes till it becomes a full moon, it wanes till it disappears, and there's a whole day at least where there's no moon in the sky whatsoever. Okay? When the next day, when the moon reappears, that's called a new moon in Al Pialach in the Torah. Just to make sure it's clear, the new moon in English, like without any connection to the Torah, actually refers to the previous day when there is no moon in the sky. But for us, the new moon, Rosh Chodesh, the first day, is when the moon begins, a little sliver appears near sundown, and witnesses will come and testify to the Bezin Agadol, to Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, and say, last night we saw the new moon. And based on that testimony, the Sanhedrin Agadol will consecrate today, that day is Rosh Chodesh. Now, since the moon cycle from full moon to full moon, or from new moon to moon and new moon, etc., takes roughly 29 and a half days, but we don't divide the days into portions, so that means it's going to work out that some months will be 29 days long, and some months will be 30 days long. Or to put it a different way, there'll be 30 days from one new moon to the next, or 31 days from one new moon to the next. Meaning, if it's 31 days from one new moon to the next, new moon, that means that the previous month had 30 days. We refer to a 29-day month, where but the first month had 29 days. We refer to that as a chaser, like I'll call it a deficient month, and a month that has 30 days, meaning that the 31st day is consecrated as the new Rosh Chodesh, the new month, that is called a male, a full month, or sometimes referred to as it's a mubar, it's like a pregnant month. Okay? Now, what would happen is every month, essentially, or as appropriate, discussions in Rosh Hashanah, not for now, the Beis Din would send out messengers to notify the public outside of Yerushalayim whether today was Rosh Chodesh, or if the witnesses came on the 30th day from the last Rosh Chodesh, then they would send out witnesses saying today is Rosh Chodesh, and meaning the previous month was 29 days long, and everyone will know based on that when to do what they have to do in terms of the holidays. Now, and if not, then the next day, the 31st day, would be sanctified as the new moon, the new month, and then the Beis Din they'd know as such. Okay, more on that in Rosh Hashanah, how it worked over the ages. Now, the same is true for Rosh Hashanah, but the problem is when it comes to other months. So, like, if you want to know what day Hanukkah falls out, the 20th of Kislev, so you'll have time. They have 25 days, essentially, to notify them, to get the message out. So the messenger will leave Yerushalayim, and they'll travel far afield. The problem with Rosh Hashanah is that, unlike any other day on the Jewish calendar, the holiday, the Yom Tov, is the first day of the month. So there's no time to notify people when the witnesses arrive. And that being the case, there's always going to be a doubt if the 30th day from Rosh Chodesh Elul, the month that precedes Rosh Hashanah, if that 30th day will be Rosh Hashanah, or no, it'll be the 31st day since the 1st of Elul will be Rosh Hashanah. There's no way to know going into it if you're going to be consecrating the months based on the Ri'ah, based on seeing the new moon. And therefore, every 30th day from Rosh Chodesh Elul, they will treat as Rosh Hashanah, and then they'll have to wait and see, and maybe it will be, and maybe it won't be. Okay? Now, even in Yerushalayim, what happened was, and this is a little complicated, what happened was they said at some point that we're not going to accept witnesses all day. We're going to have a cutoff. And the reason for the cutoff is once they have to bring the Tumim Shebein Harbaim, the afternoon offering, they would have to, the Chazal were afraid that there'd be a mistake with regard to the singing of Shira by the Levium. Also, I don't get to that so much right now, but in Rosh Hashanah we'll see it, Bez Hashem. But the point is, they said, if time for the Tumim Shebein Harbaim arrives and the witnesses haven't arrived, then we're not accepting the witnesses today. And even if the witnesses will show up this afternoon, on that 30th day since the 1st of Elul, we don't care. We won't accept them. We won't be Mekadosh the Chodesh. We won't make today Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah will happen tomorrow. Now, that what could happen, therefore, is that the people of Yerushalayim could know that witnesses arrived. Therefore, once that was decreed, so then the people of Yerushalayim could know that once the afternoon has arrived of Rosh Hashanah, and they haven't yet sanctified the new month, new year, whereas Rosh Hashanah, so it's not going to happen. So that being the case, they could then revert back to treating the day as chol, as not a Yom Tov day, because they know certainly the rabbis won't decree it as Yom Tov, so it won't be Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah will be tomorrow. So they kind of start off the day making Kiddush and refraining from Malacha, but then later on in the day, in the afternoon, they realize it's a mistake, and they then disregard that, and they go about their business doing Malacha for the rest of the afternoon, potentially, and then they would do that, and then do Rosh Hashanah again the next day. Chazal were afraid that people would if that happened, they'd stop taking the first day of Yom Tov seriously, and that could lead to Chil Yom Tov, which might end up being the first day might be Deraisa. And therefore they said, the rabbi said, both days of Rosh Hashanah will be observed, and we are not the whole first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be, I should say, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, if it was going to be observed, no matter what. There's a din d'rabban that you must keep Rosh Hashanah the first day, regardless of what happens next. So that makes it not out of any sort of doubt what will happen, but vaday, at least midrabbanan, you're obligated to observe that whole first day as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and if witnesses don't come in the morning time, then already you'll have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so that means that everyone, even in Yerushalayim, are keeping these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah out of doubt, and the whole days. Now, the question is the status of that decree of observing the refraining from Malacha on the first day, even after the witnesses came. So, according to the Chacham, the way it's set up is they made it like Yom Arichta, like Kedusha Achas, like one sanctified day over 2 days. There's no suffix involved. The 1 day is Doraisa, 1 day is Derabanan, but either way, the point is it's one long 2 day Rosh Hashanah with one Kedusha, and therefore the rabbis are not going to allow to have two separate Erevin, because that would undermine the notion of it being like legitimate as if two different days. No. Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Tana Kama in our Mishnah, says no, there are two separate days. One is really Midoraisa, one is Midorabanan, but the rabbinic enactment to refrain from Malach on the afternoon of the first day doesn't. That's all it is. It's just a rabbinic requirement to not do malacha, so people will take the first day seriously, but it doesn't link the 2 days into one single long day with one single kedusha. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that you can make two separate erevin, just like we had in the previous Mishnah, meaning you could say on the first day, I want my erev to be in the east and my second day in the west, or vice versa, etc., as the Mishnah will say. No problem. The Chacham are going to disagree with that. They're going to say the halacha is that the whole of Rosh Hashanah is like both days are one long Yom Tov for the one single Kedusha Achas and Yom Arichta Achas, one long day with one Kedusha, and therefore there's no way to have two separate Erevin. Rather, you wherever you set up your Erev on Erev Rosh Hashanah the first day on the 29th of Elul, that's where it will persist for both days as your one and only Makom Shvisa for both days of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you only can set up one, not two, Erevin. So now the Mishnah says inside, going back again, Rabbi Yehuda, who held that there are two separate days, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Shehaya Yerei Shema Tis'aber. If a person's afraid, maybe it will come 2 days, maybe not. He doesn't know going into things, of course. There's no way to know until you see what happens about the witnesses. By the way, even if you know astronomically that the first day will have a moon that's visible, it doesn't help. You need to have witnesses actually see that moon. And if there'd be cloud cover or just, you know, no witnesses, whatever the story is, to seize it, to testify, you simply cannot make that first day as Rosh Hashanah. So there's no way to know going into things. And if a person's concerned, therefore, about how it'll shake out, so, and let's say he has to be, so to speak, in the east for the first day and the west for the second day, or vice versa, so then he can say, Ma'arav Adam Shnei Eruvin. He can set up two picnic baskets, if you will, as is Erev Tchumen, Va'omer, and say, Eruvi Harishon Lamizrach, Ma'arav for the first day is in the east, Ubisheni Lamarav and the second day is in the west, just like we had in the previous Mishnah. Barishon Lamarav, or alternatively, he could say, the first day of the two days of Yom Tov, my Erev should be in the west, Ubisheni Lamizrach will be on the east. Or you could say, Eruvi Barishon, I only want this Erev to be functional for the first of the 2 days, Ubisheni Kibnei Iri, and the second day I'll just be like my local usual home, the resident of my town, like the previous mission we said. Or Eruvi Bisheni, he could say, my Erev is only functional for the second day of Yom Tov, Ubarishon Kibnei Iri, but on the first day I'll be like a resident of my town. Like the previous mission, meaning there's two separate days, and therefore two different Erevin are possible, no problem. But v'lo hod lo chacham, and the rabbis rejected that for the reasons I just explained before. They made it one long day, so people should not take the Kedusha seriously of the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore there's only one Erev possible, and that'll be the halacha l'maisa. Now, since the year 358, as I said, we have a fixed calendar where there are no doubts. We know ahead of time when Rosh Hashanah will be. That calendar was established based on the astronomical realities, as opposed to the actual arrival of witnesses, but the Bezdin felt they had no choice because nearing the end of the Talmudic period, they were afraid there wouldn't be any more Sanhedrin to receive witnesses at all, and they needed, of course, to have a calendar functional for the Jewish holidays to continue, and therefore they sanctified the holidays from then, you know, to the future until the reestablishment of the, like I'll call it, you know, the third base of English, let's call it, the Sanhedrin gets reestablished in the distant future. So that's, therefore, these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah persist until today, and that's how it is, as everyone knows, and the halacha like that. Now, as far as the 2 days, the double day, if you will, of the Yom Tov in Gullis, in exile, the Yom Tov Shel Gullios, so Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gullios, I should say. So there, it's different. There, what's necessitating the second day is the suffix, the doubt of, again, the same doubt of when the witnesses would have come. But even once they established the calendar, they kept the tradition of keeping 2 days Yom Tov. Because if you lived in exile, you lived somewhere in, you know, Babylonia, you always kept 2 days of Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos, etc., like we do today in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, even though when they established the fixed calendar, the ruling was that Minog Avaseyam Beyadeyam, they had the tradition of their ancestors in the hands, and they retained that tradition. So that's why nowadays, if you live in London or live in New York, whatever it is, so you keep 2 days of Yom Tov, even there's no doubt astronomically, but there's 2 days of Shavuos, Sukkot, etc. That's the way it is. Okay. However, those 2 days, for sure, only 1 day is really Yom Tov Midoraisa. So the second is only out of a suffix, out of doubt. It's not that the rabbis said we're going to keep, they never historically said we'll have 2 days of Yom Tov like they did in Rosh Hashanah. They said 1 day is Yom Tov and the other one isn't. We just don't know ahead of time. So therefore we'll keep both out of doubt. But since really only one, it's a suffix, only one really is Yom Tov and one isn't, it's not a vada, it's not that they said you have to keep both certainly, just you'll have to keep both out of doubt. Therefore, each one has a separate status, and you, yes, could set up two different Erevin for in Gullis, for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gullios, and you could indeed, like the Mishnah describes here, say, you know, on the first day of Shavuos, my Erev is in the east, and the second day in the west, and that indeed would work, and that is halacha l'maisa also.